Okay, so you want to really get under the skin of Argentina and Brazil. Maybe a trip's on the horizon, or just, you know, cutting through all the usual stuff and understanding what makes these places tick. And you've sent over some fascinating material. You know, those guided tour experiences of Buenos Aires and Iguazu Falls from last August. And that overview of general travel info for both countries. So our aim here is to distill all that firsthand knowledge, give you the concentrated insights, the surprising stuff, without overwhelming you with every single detail.
It's almost like you've given us a personal lens on these places.
Yeah.
And I think our job here is to synthesize those observations, really pull out what it defines them, and offer like a comprehensive but engaging understanding of these two very different South American giants.
Okay, so let's dive straight into Buenos Aires. That first impression that jumps out is this description of a European-style urban center right there on the Atlantic. But there's a real story beneath the surface, right?
Definitely.
You get this sense of a European city navigating some pretty serious economic issues.
Yeah, I think that.
August 2023, just 2 years after a major debt default and inflation at 104%.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge.
It's just staggering.
It is, and it's fascinating to see how that plays out in everyday life. The report mentions the government's tourist exchange rate, which is often a tactic to attract foreign currency during tough times, basically making things cheaper for visitors.
Makes sense.
But then you see the tangible effects of these pressures on the ground. That level of inflation would drastically reduce people's buying power, likely leading to, prioritizing essential needs and potentially fueling that informal economy. We see with all the street hawkers and the ad hoc recycling.
Absolutely. And the tour notes are full of these little details that build this bigger picture. Architecturally, it's this mix of Spanish, Italian, French influences all layered together. And the population, predominantly white, with Southern European roots. And then you get into the rhythm of daily life, that legendary soccer rivalry, good and varied food, apparently. And this seemingly more relaxed pace for the Argentinian residents.
And that's interesting, right? Because that strong European identification often influences their perspectives on things like global politics, cultural trends. Sometimes it sets them apart within Latin America. And that contrast, you mentioned the relaxed pace, but these underlying economic issues, it's a tension that probably defines life in Buenos Aires right now. Makes you wonder how people maintain that rhythm amidst all that.
It does, yeah. Is it some kind of cultural coping
It
mechanism?
could be. Yeah, it could be.
And then you see the more visible signs of those economic problems. The ad hoc recycling, which is a sign of social deprivation, evidence of those political and economic challenges, and more practical things like poor footpaths and a growing homelessness problem. It
Definitely.
gives you a feel for the city beyond just the beautiful buildings.
I think it really does. It gives these important glimpses into everyday reality. That point about being self-sufficient in shale gas and oil, it's interesting. But the need to import oil products suggests complexities in their energy infrastructure, They have the resources, but maybe the refining and distribution isn't quite there. So they have to import specific thing. And that sheer number of street hawkers, it's often a sign of economic hardship, a big informal economy.
It's interesting that even though Buenos Aires is on the Atlantic, no real beaches, just that dockland in the river estuary. They also mention varying hotel standards. And the two airports, the international one south of the city, the domestic one closer. Getting around seems easy enough, though. Metro buses and those cheap taxis and Ubers.
Yeah, that accessible transportation is a real plus. But the point about safety being comparable to Europe, but with rising petty theft because of the recession, that's really important for travelers. It highlights the impact of the economy on daily life, and that two-tiered education and healthcare based on wealth really underscores the social divides in the city.
Okay, so that's the backdrop. What are the absolute must-sees and do's in Buenos Aires from these sources? Recoleta Cemetery is right at the top. And it sounds, well, not your average final resting place.
What's fascinating is that they describe it as a city within a city. The opulence, the history, And of course, Eva Perón being buried there.
Right.
It's like a glimpse into Argentina's past.
Yeah.
And the patronage of those elite families. The catacombs, mausoleums, elaborate carvings.
Mm-hmm.
You can just imagine the grandeur, the history.
Then there's mate, the unofficial national drink.
Right.
It's a whole ritual.
Yeah.
The gourd, the metal straw.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't just find it on a typical cafe menu.
No.
That strong, bitter taste really comes through in the description.
And the cultural significance of mate can't be overstated.
Yeah.
It's so much more than a drink. It's social. It's personal.
Mm-hmm.
Deeply ingrained in daily life. The fact that it's not in cafes really says something about its personal and communal nature.
Yeah.
It's something people share and prepare in a very specific way.
Next up is El Ateneo Grand Splendid.
Okay.
This sounds incredible. A bookstore in a converted 100-year-old theater.
Wow.
Or cinema, even with a limited English language section.
Yeah.
Just the ambiance alone must be worth it.
It sounds amazing. A bookstore in a century-old theater.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the atmosphere, even without many English books.
Yeah.
That sounds unmissable.
And this really highlights how Buenos Aires blends mm-hmm. its culture and history in such a unique way.
Yeah.
Preserving this grand space as a bookstore speaks volumes.
It does.
About the value they place on the arts and literature.
It really does.
It's one of those places that transcends its basic function as a retail space.
Absolutely.
And of course, you can't talk about Argentina without tango.
Right.
It's described as central to their identity.
Yeah.
Like salsa to Colombia or samba to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
The report mentions its origins in the port.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience of watching a performance.
Right.
Or trying a milonga, a local tango dance.
Yeah.
They even mention Salon Marabu and suggest checking local listings.
Okay.
And a heads up about dinner with the shows.
Yeah.
Maybe stick to drinks if you're plant-based.
Good tip.
Because the food options might be limited.
Right.
And tango really is the heartbeat of Buenos Aires.
It is, isn't it?
Those roots in the working-class port district give it that raw, passionate edge.
Mm-hmm.
The contrast between those polished tourist shows
right.
and the authentic local milongas.
Yeah.
Offers different ways to connect with this fundamental art form.
Yeah, definitely.
It embodies a history of immigration longing resilience.
Mm-hmm.
A powerful emotional outlet that resonates with Argentinian identity.
Absolutely.
Then there's the political heart of the city.
Okay.
Casa Rosada and Plaza de Mayo.
Yeah.
That striking European-style architecture.
Mm-hmm.
The iconic pink government building.
Yeah.
And seemingly always those protest banners and graffiti.
Right.
And nearby Palacio Barolo with its unusual rounded balconies.
That area is such a visual representation
yep.
of Argentina's political and historical journey.
Mm.
The European architecture reflects those early influences.
Uh-huh.
And the constant protest art speaks to the ongoing social and political discourse in the country.
For a totally different vibe, there's the San Telmo Market on Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
Knickknacks and kitsch galore.
I love it.
Sounds wonderfully bohemian.
Yeah.
With live music-friendly locals.
Mm-hmm.
And even when the main market's not on,
yeah.
those vintage and antique shops are open year-round.
Markets like San Telmo are a fantastic opportunity to interact with local culture
right.
in a more informal, relaxed setting.
Mm-hmm.
The description really emphasizes the atmosphere,
yeah.
the chance to find unique souvenirs,
uh-huh.
and experience that local energy.
La Boca is that iconic, colorful neighborhood,
right.
vibrantly painted houses, and the legendary La Bombonera Stadium.
Uh-huh. Home to Boca Juniors.
Yeah, great for photos, street tango.
Yeah.
And watching artists at work in Caminito,
mm-hmm.
definitely taking note of that advice to get to La Bombonera early.
Yeah, it's essential.
La Boca is a postcard image of Buenos Aires.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Those bright colors have a working class history,
right.
and the passion for Boca Juniors is legendary.
Yeah.
That early morning tip is practical advice
mm-hmm.
to avoid crowds and really soak up the atmosphere.
And speaking of football, catching a match is highly recommended. Oh. Even if getting into the big stadiums isn't possible.
Right.
Watching it in a local bar sounds like a truly immersive experience.
It does, doesn't it?
Especially with that Boca River Plate rivalry.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned being a football fan.
Yeah.
This rivalry is legendary. It's almost a cultural event.
It sounds.
It really is. Football in Argentina.
Yeah.
It's more than a sport. It's ingrained. It's like a religion.
Wow.
Experiencing that passion even in a pub would be unforgettable.
Plaza Dorrego in San Telmo is another historical square highlighted.
Okay.
A central point. With shops, theaters, pubs,
mm-hmm.
and then 9 de Julio Avenue.
Right.
this huge avenue with the obelisk, lined with stores, businesses, and those beautiful jacaranda trees that apparently have pink blossoms in the spring.
These are the arteries of the city, connecting the history with the vibrant present.
Yeah.
And that description of 9 de Julio in bloom, it's just lovely. It reminds you of the city's visual appeal beyond just the architecture.
And the report throws in a few other suggestions.
Okay.
Guided tours of Teatro Colón, visiting Museo Evita, checking out MMBA, the Museum of Modern Art, even exploring the leather factories.
Yeah.
Potentially good finds there.
Definitely.
And of course, you can't miss the empanadas.
The empanadas. Oh, absolutely.
They're everywhere.
They're essential Argentinian cuisine.
Then there's the Gaucho Ranch experience.
Okay.
This sounds like stepping into a different world.
Yeah.
Getting to know the Argentinian cowboy, seeing their traditional dress and skills with horses, and the boleadora.
The boleadora.
This throwing weapon made of weighted balls connected by cords.
Wow.
Traditionally used for herding.
I've never heard of that.
The tour visited Santa Susana Ranch.
Okay.
Interestingly, founded by an Irish family.
Oh, wow.
It describes the welcome activities like horse riding and sulky rides.
Yeah.
The traditional asado lunch, which is essentially a massive Argentinian barbecue.
I love it.
And a folklore show.
That sounds amazing. The gaucho is such a strong symbol of Argentinian identity, independence, connection to the land.
Right.
That rugged spirit. Visiting a ranch like that offers a glimpse into tradition, a contrast to Buenos Aires.
Right.
Absolutely.
And finally, some key travel tips for Buenos Aires.
Okay.
Transportation, trains, buses, metro, all popular options. Americans get visa-free entry for under 90 days.
Right.
Currency is the Argentine peso. And they have official and tourist exchange rates.
Yeah. So important to be aware of that.
So good advice to carry some cash, even though cards are accepted.
Yeah, definitely.
Spanish is the language, but English is spoken in tourist areas.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared for a wide range of temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity is 220 volts with Type-C/I adapters.
Right.
And they even suggest a recommended order for seeing the sights.
Oh, nice.
Starting with Recoleta Cemetery and kind of winding through the city.
Mm-hmm.
Ending with soaking up the atmosphere, maybe catching a tango show.
I like it. These practical tips are essential, and that currency situation with the different rates, it's really important to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And that suggested order can be a helpful framework for planning your time.
Okay, shifting gears completely now to Iguazu Falls.
Okay.
Right on the border between Argentina and Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
A totally different experience.
Yeah.
Absolutely breathtaking natural wonder.
It is.
You need at least 2 full days to see both sides properly.
And what's immediately striking is the different perspectives you get from each side. Brazil offers those sweeping panoramic views.
Right.
And a walkway that goes right out into the falls.
Wow.
Argentina has these close-up walkways over the Cascades.
It's interesting that the forest floor around Iguazu is described as dense.
Yeah.
Not really walkable. Unlike the Amazon, where the canopy's higher, getting there seems pretty straightforward.
Right.
With daily flights into airports on both the Argentinian and Brazilian sides.
Mm-hmm. IGR and IGU.
Yeah. And there are long-distance bus options, too.
Yeah.
The walkways on both sides are described as well-run and accessible.
And that focus on accessible walkways highlights the effort to let visitors experience the power of nature in a safe, structured way.
Right.
An easy border crossing for many nationalities is a big plus.
Yeah.
And those ongoing infrastructure developments suggest a commitment to enhancing tourism.
These falls are just massive.
They are, aren't they?
Nearly 3 times wider than Niagara and Victoria Falls.
It's hard to grasp until you're there.
Yeah.
Comparing it to other waterfalls puts it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that advice about crowds is crucial.
Right.
Timing can make a huge difference.
Yeah. Especially during the Southern Hemisphere summer.
Yeah.
Trying to visit early morning or late afternoon.
Right.
To avoid those peak hours between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Definitely.
It sounds like the whole experience is quite structured with those metal walking paths for safety.
You can't really wander off the marked trails.
Yeah.
And then there's this weird little train on the Argentinian side.
A train.
That you have to take to get to most of the falls.
Okay.
Including Devil's Throat.
Right.
The tickets included with your park entrance.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to reserve a time slot and there can be waits.
So that structured experience is a trade-off, I guess,
yeah,
between safety and free exploration.
Uh-huh.
And that train system sounds unique.
Yeah.
Potentially time consuming.
Right.
Good to know about that.
The weather sounds like a pretty constant factor.
Yeah.
Hot, humid, with almost daily rain.
Okay.
So protecting your electronics is a must.
Absolutely.
And you can get incredibly close to the falls on both sides.
Right.
So expect to get soaked from the spray and those sudden downpours.
The subtropical climate is definitely part of the Iguazu experience.
Yeah.
Being prepared for the humidity and rain is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And that soaking is part of the adventure for a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's a mention of privileged early or late access.
Oh, yeah.
For guests staying in the national park hotels.
Right.
The Gran Melia in Argentina and the Belmond in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely worth considering if you want to beat the crowds.
Definitely.
And keep an eye out for the wildlife.
Yeah.
Toucans, monkeys, and those cute but mischievous coetis.
Yeah.
But don't feed them.
No, never feed the wildlife.
That early or late access is a significant advantage.
It is.
For those staying at those hotels and seeing rainforest wildlife.
Yeah.
Just adds another dimension.
It does.
As long as it's done responsibly.
And absolutely respectfully.
The report goes into detail about the boat trip experience.
Okay.
Sounds like quite an adventure.
Yeah.
A 20-minute ride on these custom lorries to get to the river.
Mm-hmm.
Then Steve steps down and a potentially slippery climb back up.
Right.
And then you're on this high-powered RV that goes right under one of the waterfalls.
Wow.
They provide a waterproof bag for your valuables, which sounds absolutely essential.
It does.
And the crew makes videos that you can buy.
Okay.
Just be prepared for a bumpy ride through the rapids.
The boat trip sounds exhilarating.
Yeah.
To feel the power of the falls up close.
Yeah.
That encounter with the water must be incredible.
Uh-huh.
And that advice about the bag and the steps.
Yeah.
Really good to know.
Then there's the helicopter trip.
Okay.
A total experience of about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
With 6 to 7 minutes actually over the falls.
Right. So a short window.
Yeah. So a short window for photography.
Okay.
5 passengers plus the pilot seating based on weight distribution. So you might end up in the middle.
Right.
And that reflective glass can interfere with SLR camera focus.
Oh, really?
So best to avoid autofocus.
Okay.
And it's super noisy inside, making it hard to hear other passengers.
Right.
The ground crew also makes a video of your takeoff and landing.
Oh, wow.
That you can buy.
So the helicopter gives you that unparalleled aerial view, but the short time and photography challenges are important to consider.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about that visual impact than detailed shots.
The overall recommendation is to mix walking on both sides.
Yeah.
The boat trip and the helicopter tour, if possible.
Right.
80% of your time on the Argentinian side.
Uh-huh.
For the close-up views,
mm-hmm.
20% on the Brazilian side for the panoramic vistas.
I like that balanced approach.
Yeah.
Combining the immersive Argentinian side with the broader Brazilian perspective.
Yeah. And there's a funny note about pushy Instagrammers.
Oh, yeah.
At the popular viewing points.
Relevant observation in today's travel landscape.
The must-sees are those panoramic views from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Topside views from Argentina, especially Devil's Throat.
Right.
And that helicopter trip.
Those highlights capture the different ways to experience Iguazu.
Uh-huh.
Devil's Throat is the focal point.
Yeah.
And combining those ground level perspectives with the aerial view gives you a real understanding of its scale and power. Okay.
Okay, let's get into some general travel information.
Okay.
That applies to both Argentina and Brazil.
Right.
Argentina is a federal republic, the 8th largest country in the world, and the largest Spanish-speaking one.
Right.
Brazil is the largest in both South and Latin America.
Yeah.
The 5th largest by area.
Wow.
And Portuguese-speaking.
Those basic facts highlight the scale and diversity of these nations.
Yeah.
And the language difference is key, not just between them, but in South America as a whole.
Health advice is crucial.
Yeah.
Get comprehensive travel insurance before you go.
Absolutely.
There's been a yellow fever outbreak in Brazil since 2017.
Right.
So check those health websites.
Yeah.
And seek medical advice about vaccinations well in advance.
Travel insurance is non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And yellow fever in Brazil is serious.
Mm-hmm.
Careful planning and talking to healthcare professionals is key.
Visa and entry requirements for EU and UK citizens.
Okay.
With valid passports that have 6 months left,
mm-hmm.
you don't need visas for tour stays under 90 days.
That visa-free entry makes things easier for a lot of people.
Currency banking and cash withdrawal. Argentina uses the peso.
Uh-huh.
Brazil, The real ATMs are generally available in urban areas.
Right.
And you'll find exchange bureaus.
Mm-hmm.
Best to convert some money beforehand.
Having some local currency is a good idea
yeah.
for smaller places, even where cards are accepted.
Tipping in Argentina, it's generally desired.
Okay.
About 10% for good service is typical.
Mm-hmm.
In Brazil, it's not as ingrained.
Right.
Often a 10% service charge is included. So check your bill.
Understanding tipping customs avoids awkwardness.
Yeah.
And helps you tip appropriately.
Shopping is varied in both countries.
Okay.
You've got tourist zones, local markets, which can be different
right.
from what you might be used to.
Yeah.
And Western-style malls. Some smaller stores, particularly in Argentina,
yeah.
might still observe a siesta during the day.
Good to know.
Nightlife is plentiful in both countries.
Mm-hmm.
Pubs, nightclubs, karaoke tango clubs in Argentina.
So, diverse shopping options.
Yeah.
And knowing about siesta times helps.
Right.
And the nightlife offers plenty of entertainment.
Drink prices are generally 2 to 4 euros for beer.
Okay.
5 to 10 for wine.
Not bad.
Local guides are best for finding those hidden gems.
Definitely.
Electrical output in Argentina is 220 volts.
Right.
With type I plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil varies between 110 and 220 volts.
Okay.
And they use type N and European plugs.
Right.
A universal adapter is highly recommended.
Essential.
Time zones. Argentina is generally UTC minus 3,
uh-huh.
but they do observe daylight saving time.
Right.
Brazil has 3 time zones.
Okay.
The main one being UTC minus 2 during September.
Essential details for devices and time differences.
Yeah. Phone and internet access.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile coverage varies. So check roaming options with your provider.
Okay.
Wi-Fi is usually available at hotels and many public places.
So reliable communication is important.
Yeah.
Checking roaming and knowing about Wi-Fi is helpful.
Transportation speed limits are in kilometers per hour.
Right.
You drive on the right in both countries.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches are common for intercity travel.
Yeah.
And domestic flights are used too.
Yeah.
Taxis are plentiful in cities.
Right.
It's advised to book taxis in advance or use radio taxis in Argentina.
Okay.
And be cautious about using public buses in Brazil.
Right.
Due to communication and safety concerns.
Mm-hmm.
The metro is generally better there.
Okay.
Ride-hailing apps exist in Buenos Aires.
Mm-hmm.
But they may be less regulated.
This transportation overview is really useful.
Yeah.
That advice about taxis and buses is important
mm-hmm.
for convenience and safety.
Staying safe. The areas tourists visit are generally considered safe.
Okay.
But watch out for pickpockets in crowded spots. Use hotel safes for valuables. Carry passport copies.
Mm-hmm.
And be cautious on public transport.
Yeah.
Don't flash expensive belongings.
Good advice.
For Argentina, be extra alert to street crime.
Okay.
Distraction techniques are common.
Right.
Listen to your local guide's advice on areas prone to petty crime.
Safety is paramount when traveling.
Yeah.
These tips highlight the common risks
mm-hmm.
and emphasize being aware and heeding local advice.
Lifestyle customs traditions in Brazil.
Yeah.
Smoking's forbidden in public places, except designated areas.
Right.
There's a real love of dance and music.
Uh-huh.
Festivals, Samba Bossa Nova are big.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a strong celebration of local folklore.
Yeah.
You'll see a visible police and military presence.
Okay.
And interestingly, there are designated topless beaches.
Wow.
And many restaurants offer affordable lunchtime menus.
Good to know.
In Argentina, smoking's banned in enclosed public spaces.
Right.
The population is predominantly of European descent. And culturally and emotionally, they often seem more European
yeah.
than Latin American.
It's fascinating.
They're also quite close physical communicators.
These nuances give you insights into
yeah.
daily life and social norms, mm. helping visitors understand and respect them.
Mm-hmm.
The contrasts in heritage and communication are interesting
yeah.
and can shape your interactions.
So Argentina and Brazil offer these diverse and captivating experiences.
They do, don't they?
From the European charm and economic realities
yeah.
of Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
To the power of Iguazu Falls
mm-hmm.
and the practicalities of navigating these South American giants.
Absolutely. You have that urban sophistication of Buenos Aires
yeah.
with its culture and history,
right, yeah.
then the untamed beauty of Iguazu
hmm.
and Brazil's vibrant Portuguese-influenced culture.
Yeah.
A study in contrast.
What sticks with me is that image of El Ateneo bookstore.
Yeah.
In that old theater, I can't quite picture it.
It's amazing.
That blend of history and literature.
Yeah.
In such a grand setting, or maybe just the sheer scale of Iguazu
like,
compared to those other famous waterfalls,
mm-hmm.
It really puts its grandeur into perspective.
For me, it's those cultural nuances. Yeah. Argentinians identifying more with Europe mm-hmm. despite their location
right.
raises questions about national identity,
yeah.
how it's formed and perceived.
So here's something to think about.
Okay.
Considering that blend of European influence, expert,